Everyone do their homework?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
So here we have.
Anyone copy the board last time?
Yeah, but my handwriting is.
No, it's okay. I just want to see, like, the order. Great. And then in each of these, we had three scenarios, right?
Yeah. How come everybody didn't put it in the fourth?
What?
How come everybody didn't put it in the fourth?
Because it's either the equivalent or whatever. Okay, so here we have Mir Mitchilav Yatsov. If I'm changing the order, tell me. And the next one was
Rock Mir Yatsov.
Lomir,
Elavasov. Right, that's the official.
Right. Elavasov. And the other is Lomir Klav. And he says the same as Nir.
Yeah.
Right, and here's also Nir Mitchila.
It's fine. Just
Yatsov. Lomir Batila Elavasov. And Lomir Klav. Okay, and then what was the order I put the Rishonim?
Three.
Three, and the next was Rashi, Lafi, Lafi the Mordechai, and then the Dark Emotion, the Shach, Mordechai, Shach, good enough. One Rishon, one Achron. Here's Rashi, Lafi the Ran, and the Taz. Okay, great. Let's start with the read. Okay, how should we fill in the chart according to the read? So this is the case of the Gemara according to the Ri. So, what's the din? What if you didn't? Rashi, Lafi, Mordechai, Shach, Rashi, Lafi, the Ran. Okay, so what if you're near Mitchilav Yatsov? What does the Ri say? What has to be Shishim Pan Petipa? Exactly. As long as, right, Mutter, if the Kedera equals 60 times the Tipa, right, because it's immediately Batal. What if Lunir Mitchila Elo Levasov?
And you need shishim either against the piece of meat or shishim of the piece of meat, and I get the whole.
Exactly. It is usur unless chaticha equals 60 times the tipa, because then it's bottle right away. Or kedera equals 60 times the chaticha, and then the chaticha would still be usur, of course. Thank you. Okay. What about this case? What if you didn't stir it at all?
The chaticha is odd. It depends. The chaticha is not shishiv.
The chaticha is asura unless it is 60 times the tipa, but
the kedera is fine.
The kedera is fine because the tam never goes from the chaticha to the kedera. Okay, how about if the chaticha is half in the rotev, half out, according to the Ri?
Shishiv is half shil connected the whole.
Does it make a difference which of these things?
No.
No, then none of these things make a difference. Because it's all the same. It immediately dissipates throughout. Right? So, the answer is, it is mutter if the kedera equals 60 times the tipa. Okay, great. That's the Ri. Right? If it's half in, then basically it's all in. Then it's as if it fell straight into the rotev. And if not, then you have the case of the Gemara. How about Rashi, according to the... Rashi according to the Mordechai. How about Rashi according to the Mordechai? So, what's the case of the Gemara? The case of the Gemara is this case. It was half and half. So, what is the din if it is half and half? If you're near Mitzvah Yatsof, then it's mutter the kadeira, as long as the kadeira is 60 times the tiva, because immediately right. dissipate throughout. What if you're lomir b'tchila el basof? Then what? You have no lomir b'tchila el basof. Exactly. Basically, this matches this.
Yeah.
Right, because it's the case of the Gemara, and Rashi goes to the Mordechai, and they read the Gemara the same way. They just say it's a different case.
Three, the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, basically, these three equals those three. Usser, unless, and here I am going to simplify a little, but unless the Chaticha equals 60 times the Tipa, or the Kedera equals 60 times the chaticha. Okay, and in this case, if you don't stir it at all, then the chaticha is asura, but the kedera is muteris. That's why I said I'm oversimplifying, you know, that maybe I will be part of the chaticha. Okay. According to correct. Now, what would Rashi say about this case? An interesting question. What would Rashi say about that case? About if it was like.
Would it be the same thing?
So, yeah, Lechora would be the same thing. Meaning, Lechora.
Does it all be the same thing? Am I letting it fit on marks?
Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning, Rashi would basically say, like, it doesn't matter if it's half in or totally out. Either way, first goes into the Chatifa. If you stir it right away, it goes right away. If you never stir it, it never goes into the Kedera. And if you stir it afterwards, it's Chanan and then goes in the Kedera.
Just you need to do the kilo of the pieces.
According to the Shach. Okay, correct. But we're going to leave that out for now. We're only going to discuss the Chaticha and the Kedera. Okay, now how about according to Ran and the Taz? Which is the Iker box that the Ran and the Taz would disagree about? This one, right? This is the one that they would disagree about. Here, they would say the same thing. And here, they would say the same thing. If you stirred it right away, it's bottled right away. As long as the pot has 60 grots. If you didn't stir it down, stir it later, then it first becomes Chanan and then Asher's all pot. The difference is what they would say in this case. If you don't stir it at all, they would say it still enters in. It just enters in two steps instead of in one step. Over here it enters in one step. And over here it enters in two steps. So what they would say it's all Asher, meaning they would say it's the same as this case, unless Chaticha is 60 times the tipa, or the kedera equals 60 times the chaticha. That's the main chiddush of the Ran and the Taz. Okay, what about this case?
Should be the same as the
Taz. Should be the same. This case, yesh ladon a little, but pashtos, they would say the same thing. They would say, if it's a piece that's totally out of the rotev, it's not going to spread, is the pashup shot, unless you stir it. Right, that just seems to be the general clothing. Okay, so this is the chart. Now let's see what? Unless somehow they think that even if it's totally out of the rotev, it spreads. I didn't see that anywhere. And Pash does not, according to the normal sheets that we possibly like. Okay, so now let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Sif Beis. We haven't read any Shulchan Aruch yet, I don't think. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Lashon of who? Kedarko Vakodesh?
Rambam.
The Rambam, right? The Mechaber usually quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. Right, so let's see. Nafal Cholav Letoch Kedera Shel Basar. The only thing that's a little difference, as the Rambam will point out, is that he doesn't say for the 60 times, because Sfardim actually rely on a taste test. They say, you know, if a guy would taste it and tell you what it tastes like. So if a drop falls into a Kedera Basar, Tomech Hatikhu Nafal Lecholav. We taste, meaning a guy tastes, the piece that it lands on, in Ein Batam Cholav Kol Mutter. If the piece is big enough that it has no taste of milk, the milk is too small, the piece is too big, then it's all mutter. If that piece does taste like milk, then it becomes Asr, and as the Ramal would be done for Asr Ashkenazim, the Insom Chalagoy, that we don't rely on a guy's tasting, right? That we don't measure. I put on the board for Tashkenazic yardsticks, not according to the Sfardi yardsticks. We don't actually ask them to check if the goy, if the piece is big enough to be mevatel the cholov and not taste it, or if the cholov is big enough that you can taste it. We just estimate with 60. So if the piece is 60 times the drop, motor, if the piece is not 60 times the drop, usser. umesharin bekula. And then, if that piece is aser, then we measure that whole piece as treif because it became chanan. Once that piece becomes chanan, we add up everything else in the pot, all the other pieces and the vegetables and the broth and the spices. So if it's 60 times the piece, then that piece is also for everything else in mutter. And obviously, if what's left is only 59 or 58 or any smaller number times the piece, then it's all treif. When is this true that we say chanan, the piece becomes aser as long as it's not 60 times the drop? And the whole pot becomes aser as long as it's not 60 times the piece? That is, b'shalon yirkei v'tchil, k'shanaf alachal v'alosof. When do we say chanan if lo nir v'tchil v'asof? V'lo kisa, and you weren't mechasa v'tchil el v'asof. V'lo nir v'tchil v'yatsof, or shekisa mishas v'tchil v'yatsof, if you were menar v'tchil v'yatsof, or you covered it with chilva sofa, kolman starif batal machalav, everything is with starif to mevatel that drop of milk.
If you don't know how big the drop was, what are you supposed to do?
If you don't know how big the drop was...
Most people don't know how big drops are.
Good, so what are you supposed to do if you don't know how big the drop was? So, pashtos, you have to figure out how big it possibly could have been, like between X and Y, and use the most machmer possibility. Because the rule is... in this case, Safik Daraisa L'Chumra, since we're not sure how big the drop was, we have to assume it's the biggest it could have been. So basically, like, I'll take a cup, I'll fill it up with 1 ounce of water. Was it this big? No, it was smaller than that. Half an ounce of water. Was it this big? No, it was smaller than that. Quarter ounce of water. Was it this big?
No, not sure.
Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe. And it could have been smaller, like, up to this. Okay, so then you have to use a quarter ounce. Okay, whenever you're not sure, you have to use the most macro possibility.
The rice, if it's on the fire.
Lachor, it's on the fire.
No, I'm saying in the case, then
so we are machmir that if it's in a kli rishon off the fire, it's also bas b'chol deraisa. We're generally machmir. Most achronim assume that kli rishon off the fire is also bishul gomer, bein in Shabbos, bein in bas b'chalav. So whatever the case is that would meet this scenario, yeah, would be a... Okay, so you'd have to be machmir, ketzer. Okay, what if you don't know how big something is and it's only shaylo for a banan? We'll get to that. Then sometimes you can be mekel.
Can you use a sniff using a goyashkazim, or does it
help us at all? No, I think it's a strong mashkazim minhag. Not to use a goy. Okay, we'll get to whether Ashkenazim have any tricks in Siman Tzadiches. The truth is, a lot of Rechonim discuss very sniffing. But Lamaise, I've never seen anyone do it. I've never even seen Sfardim do it. Although, I don't see why not, theoretically. Okay, right. Now, so that's what the Mechaber said so far. Basically, he says the Gemara. If you're Menar Mitzchila V'Yatzof, Kisa Mitzchila V'Yatzof, Nir Mitzchila V'Yatzof, then there's no machlokas. Everyone agrees that the whole Kedira is 60 times the Tifa, it's Batal. If you're Lo Nir Mitzchila El V'Yatzof, Lo Kisa Mitzchila El V'Yatzof, then the Gemara says it's a problem of Chanan. Add the Ramah V'Chim Lo Nir Klal Lo B'Tchil Lo V'Yatzof, Lo kisa klal. What if there is lo mir lo betchil lo basof, or lo kisa lo betchil lo basof, which the Rambam did not explicitly address, right? Lo mir klal lo kisa klal. The Gemara addressed, the Rambam didn't. Em yesh b'shisha mekdera neged neged tipas hachol. Okay, let's first see how hard it is to read this Mechaber. One thing we're not clear, does the Rambam and the Mechaber hold like Rashi or the Ri? What case is he talking about? Right? He doesn't say. He just quotes the Gemara. So he doesn't say what case he's talking about. So do we hold like Rashi or do we hold like the Ri? How do we hold, like Rashi or like the Ri? So that depends who you ask. Right? Do we hold like Rashi or like the Ri?
Let's make ourselves a little box here.
What does the Taz think? What does the Taz think the Mechaber means? Yeah, the Taz thinks the Mechaber means
Rashi.
We hold like Rashi. Okay. The Taz thinks the Iker we hold like Rashi. So says the Taz, says the Mechaber according to the Taz. Like Rashi. Okay. And which Rashi? His version of Rashi, obviously. Who did the Shach think we hold like?
His version of
Rashi.
No.
We hold like the Shach thinks we hold like the Ri. The Shach, he brings his version of Rashi, but he thinks we hold like the Ri. Says the Shach, we hold like the Ri, although the Shach admits that the Ramah, what does the Ramah hold? The Ramah is Vesopik, they hold like Rashi or the Ri. Right? The Shach says this here, and the Ramah is pretty clear later because the Ramah says in Sif Dalid that in Basav or Chalav or Mach were like Rashi and the Ri. Okay, even though in Shari Surin will say differently. So the Ramah in Sif Dalid is, we'll see in Sif Dalid he holds more like the Ri, but he's also Mach were like Rashi. Right? Like the Ri. Umach Nirin Gam King Kirashi. That's what he said in Sif Dalid. Why do I say that? Because he says in other Yisurim that are not Basar B'chalav, we just hold like the Ri. We're not so Machmer. But Basar B'chalav, we're also Machmer like Rashi. Okay, so the Shach thinks we should really just hold like the Ri, when he talks about himself. The Ramah, everyone agrees, is Machmer both ways. Bein the Taz, bein the Shach, everyone agrees the Ramah is Machmer both ways. And the Taz holds like Rashi. So, let's just okay. Let's see how that plays out here. So says there are b'chein lo near klal lo b'tchil lo b'sof lo kisa klal. What if you didn't do near at all and didn't do kisa at all? And ye shishim b'kedei negativa schalav shenafal eino aser rakach haticha levad v'shar kedei mutar. If there's shishim the kedeira times the tifa of chalav, the nechatichos usher and the whole kedera is mutter. Okay, who is this against? Says the Ramah, if, let's chazer one more time. Near mitchil b'yatsof is mutter, the whole kedera is 60 tifos, it's mutter. That's everything. Lo near mitchil el basof, lo kisa mitchil el basof. First the chaticha becomes aser if it's not 60 tipos, and then it becomes chanan, and the whole pot becomes aser if it's not 60 chatichos. Okay, that's clearly, according to the Ri, that's true in the Ri's case, and according to Rashi, that's true in Rashi's case. How about lonier klal lo kisa klal? The Raman doesn't discuss it. Why the Raman doesn't discuss it? I don't know. Say whatever you want. Say it's obvious there. It's obvious which way, we don't know. So what does the Ramah say, lonier klal lo kisa klal? What's the din? As long as the whole kedera is 60 tipos, it's okay. Okay? Who is that against? What?
Well,
who is that against?
Is it in the Rosh Hashanah?
Whatever the case in the Gemara is. Who is that against? Who's the only one who says that if you don't stir it at all, the whole pot can become usher, even if it's 3,000 times? It's against Rashi, according to the Taz. Which is why the Taz, the Gan Hei, says, Tvarim Ilu Tzarech Iyon. This makes no sense, and then he has a whole discussion. In the end, he decides that it's just not true, right? He has a problem with this Ramah is against him. Clearly, the Ramah is Machriya against the Taz version of Rashi. Okay, you don't need this Ramah. If you look at the Darkei Moshe, he also says very explicitly against the Taz version of Rashi. So, what do we see here? We'll just add that the Taz and Ramah, and the Shach. Okay, and that's why the Taz here says Devarim Elu Tzarech Iyon, and the Shach says no, it's no problem at all. Okay, now let's just try to figure out for a second what the Pesach Halacha is. Yeah,
the Ramah is talking about a case where it's outside of the Rota. So then wouldn't the Taz agree?
Yes. The Taz would agree, but the Taz thinks the Ramah can't be talking about a case where it's outside the Rotev, because he's sure that the Mechaber is talking about a case where it's inside the Rotev, and the Ramah is continuing from the Mechaber. Okay, so let's just figure out how we pass in Halacha le Maisa. According to Mechaber, it's a little hard because we don't know if Mechaber is really trying to say like Rashi or really trying to say like the Ri. But according to the Ramah, in Sif Dalaj, I know we haven't read yet, so you'll take my word for it for now. He's Mesopic both ways, so let's try to figure out exactly what the din is. So, let's say Chaticha is Lamalo min Arotev. Okay, then there aren't really multiple possibilities, right? Halacha, Lemaisa. Right, that's Shmisi. How about if the Chaticha is half in, half out? What is the Shita of the Ramah? The Chaticha is half in and half out. So, if you were near Mechila Yad Sof, there's also no room for ambiguity. If you stir it right away, then there's no room, no machlokas, right? Everyone agrees. What if lo mir betchila el basof? So what do we say? According to the Ri, since it was half in, half out, immediately dissipating the whole kedera. According to Rashi, it's a problem. The Ramah would be machber. Again, how do I know the Ramah would be machber in this case? So he says mefurish and sevdala that he's machber in this case. Says straight up and said, Dalad, he's Machber in this case. So this is how the Ramah would paskin. How about the case where you weren't Minayer or Mechasa at all? Then, what is the Ramah, what is the Ramah paskin if you weren't Minayer or Mechasa at all? So what does he just say? Loni your klal lo betchil lo basof lo kisa klal. Im yesh shisha mikdeira negativas cholv shenafal enu osa raka chaticha livad ushar hakdeira muteris. Now, let's think of what he says. And here, we'll give the shach shot here. He says that the whole kedera is muteris if it's 60 times the tiba, but that chaticha is still osa. So what is the Ramah saying? The Ramah is saying that, let's think of what the Ramah is saying. If Kedera is not 60 times the Tipa, then it's all Lasser. Kedera is not 60 times the Tipa, it's all Lasser. If Kedera is 60 times the Tipa, then the Chaticha is Asura. So, ask the Shach and Rabbi Kveger and the Gra and everyone else, and there are many answers to this. They said, hold on, Mimonoshev, that doesn't make sense. We just said if the Kedera is not 60 times the Tipa, it's all Asr. Meaning, the Tipa goes through the whole Kedera. Because if the Kedera is only 59 Tipa, so there's no Asr, so the Tipa must go through the whole Kedera. If the Tipa goes through the whole Kedera, then even if the Kedera is 60 times the Tipa, the Chaticha should also be Mutter, because it went through the whole Kedera. So it doesn't go through the whole Kedera, it does not go through the whole Kedera. The Shach says very Pashat. The Shach says, there are laws in the Sofak, whether they're whole like the Ri or Rashi. So therefore, says the Ramah, you take chumrot of both the Ri and Rashi, not the Taz's Rashi. According to the Taz's Rashi, then you might say the whole thing is usher, even if it's 1,000 tipos. No, the Ramah has no happening of the Taz's Rashi. You take the chumrot of both. What happens if you take the Shach says is cut above? What happens if you take the chumrot of both? Very poshut. Then, if the Kedera is not 60 times Tipa, then we're Machmir like the Ri. If the Kedera is only 59 Tipa, we're Machmir like the Ri, that if it lands on a piece that's half in, it immediately goes through the whole Kedera. And therefore the whole Kedera is Asur. But if the Kedera is 60 times the Tipa, then we're Machmir like Rashi. And that's how the Shach explains this Ramah. There are many spirits of this Ramah. Then we're Machmir like Rashi. And that makes a lot of sense. If the Kedera is 60 times the Tifa, then what would be more Machmir than the Ri we make of? The Tifa disappeared. But Rashi would be Machmir. It stayed in that Chaticha. So we want to know, what's the Etzem Achlokas Rashi and Ri? If a Tifa lands on a piece that's half in, half out, will it stay in that piece or go through the whole pot? The answer is we're Machmir both ways. If it's a very small pot, we're Machmir went through the whole pot and Asher's it. If it's a big pot, we're Machmir stayed in that piece and Asher that piece. And that explains this Pesach of the Ramah, What did the Rambam say? Im yesh shishim b'kdeira, the implication is, if the kdeira doesn't have shishim tipos, it's aser. And the kdeira does have shishim tipos, the chaticha is aser. Why would that be? Did it go through the whole kdeira, or did it stay in the chaticha? The answer is, we're not sure. Whichever is more machmir. But he's not worried about the Taz's version of Rashi. He's not worried that it stayed in the piece, made it chanan, and then that asher the rest of the kdeira. That he's not worried about. But he's worried about the most machmir of these two shitas. So that's where, says, now, there are other pshatim in this Rambam. But the Shach definitely, has the cleanest pshat in this Rama. Says the Shach, he's machmer both ways, and that's where we see that in all these cases there's no machlokes. Over here in this case, sorry, he passes like Rashi because it's more machmer. In this case, he passes like half and half, depending if the kdeira 60 or not, he'll possibly like whichever sheet is more machmir. And that's how the Shach explains why the Rambam is saying this here. And that makes a good pattern because distance is valid, by the way. This is the Rambam. This is valid. This is the Rambam. This is the phase. Okay, now the Rambam comes together. And what does the Taz do with this Ramah? The Ramah should have said if it landed on a piece half in, half out. Either he should have, if he held like the Ri, he should have said it immediately goes to the whole Kedir and that Chaticha is never Usur. If he held like Rashi, he should have said that Chaticha is Usur, then it's the whole pot Usur. So the Taz leaves a certain hand. He can't understand this Ramah because the Ramah doesn't match his version of Rashi. That's okay. The Ramah didn't hold like his version of Rashi. Okay, that's the basic psak in the case of the similar to that of the Gemara. Agav, do we have any evidence whether the Machaber paskin like the Ri or like Rashi? The Shach thinks we paskin like the Ri, although we admit the Rambam was Machaber both ways. The Taz thinks we paskin like Rashi, even though he doesn't understand the Rambam. The Rambam thinks we're Machaber like one version of the Mordechai's version of Rashi and the Ri. The Machaber, it's very hard to tell. He just quotes the Rambam. He doesn't say anything from anything. But much later on in Simon Kofei, he says, well, according to Rashi, it would be this way. According to the Ri, it would be that way. According to the Ri, if it's out of the Kedera, according to Rashi, even if it's half in the Kedera. And he quotes both opinions. If he quotes both opinions, Simon Kofei, it could be that really he agrees with the Rambam. And he's Machaber both ways. He just didn't want to get into it in Simon Sadibes. So it could be that the Machaber also is Machaber both ways. Great. Now let's just finish up the Ramah. The Chayn Nir B'Tchila Okisa Miyad Af Agav Lo Nir V'Lo Kisa L'Asof. Remember, we discussed this last time. What about the case that we never discussed? Your Menayr or Mechasa in the beginning and not till the end. So says the Ramah, oh yeah, as long as you did it in the beginning, even if you didn't do it at the end, call it Kedira Mitzari, Fushi Nar Mekis Miyad Shanof Shama Yisar. As long as you did it right away, he holds like Mariv Chaviv. Then, says the Ramah, Nir Betchila is the same as Betchila V'Yatzof. Betchila V'Yatzof is Lav Davka. Nir Betchila is good enough. Remember, we saw three opinions about this. Most poskim held like the Ramah, Nir Betchila is good enough. The Beis Yosef thought that the Ramah thought you mamish need Betchila V'Yatzof to make sure you did a good job. It seems like Yigzira Duran and you need mamish Yatzof. And the Taz says, no, it was all a misunderstanding. There was never a machlokes. The Rambam needed adsof, but he didn't need adsof like till the end of your day, till the end of your cooking, till the end of your lifetime. He just meant till you totally stir in the drop and it dissolves. And everyone agrees with that. And Lamaisa, we paskin like the Taz because, regardless of what everyone meant, that's a good idea. The continuing now. Okay, that's the first part. And before we go on, Batala, could you get the board, please? Any questions on the board? Before we mention two aspects.
Isn't what we just said now, Beis Yosef would be in Hektar 60, he says the Rambam needs to be near Yafa Yafa, right? So in order to be Nevada. Rav is only 59. He say also there need to be near Yafa Yafa in order to make it all Usher?
No.
Or no, he's saying
that's only the coolie need Yafa Yafa. Okay. Now, the Shach in Sifkatan, the Shach in Sifkatan Gimel and the Taz in Sifkatan Gimel, coincidentally enough, ask a side question. But a side question that, you know, we just want to briefly review. There's a lot of assumptions going on here. We'll just briefly review the basics. What's the side question he asked? As follows. Okay. Make some room.
Please.
What do we start off saying? Forget the whole sugya of Kana. What do we start off saying? We said, a tipas chalav lands on a chatichas basar. Tipas chalav lands on chatichas basar. What happens? It goes into chatichas basar, and we check if that chatichas basar is 60 times the chalav or not. What does it sound like from here? It sounds like from here that tipas chalav spreads through the entire piece. Sounds from here, mashma saramba, is that tipas chalav spreads through the whole chatikah. What did we say the Mordechai thought? How far does that tipas chalav go? Only to the top part of the chatikah, right? But that's not mentioned in the Shach. Right? Not mentioned in the Shach. The Shach doesn't mention the Mordechai. But if you look in the Darkei Moshe here, I think, is most explicit about this. Says the Darkei Moshe, if I can find it. 1 second. I'll specify in a moment. Uva Mordechai Mashmer Perkal Basar, the Ain Lesser Blunil or so, the Mashmer Shamal Divi Rashi, Mordechai's Mashmer Rashi, Ain Lesser Ba Osuchatiha Rak Mashachot the Rotem, Mashavasocha Rotem Shari. Nah, you only answer the part of the Chatil is outside the Rotem. What's in the Rotem, you don't answer. Kevin should be a Puga Fachil in Magilasham, Filamashim, because the drop of milk doesn't get to the part in the Rotem at all. Because if it went to there, it would just go into the whole thing. Okay, so says the Mordechai, or the Mashmos of the Mordechai, right? That no, the Tipas Chalav only spreads through the top of the Chatikha. Okay, now, what would you think should happen? Based on some rules that we mentioned, you have a solid piece of meat called the chatikha. A drop lands on it. How far should that drop spread according to some rules that we learned?
If it's cold milk,
it depends.
No, but it's cold milk on the hot meat, right? So try again.
Close.
Should spread through the whole thing. Okay, that's one possibility. But is this bishul or tzli? Is this in rotev or not in rotev? Well, the case is that this part is not in the rotev, right?
So it's right?
It's landing on the part that's not in the rotev. So you would think this called tzli and should spread kedei netila. That's the question of the shach and the tav, right? The question of the shach and the tav, sifkat and gimel, is that since the tipa lands on a solid, it is like tzli, and should only spread kedei netila. What?
In the green letters, only spreads through the top. What is
the top of the chatikha.
So that's not kedei netila?
I don't know. So what I want to say is, maybe you could kill two birds with one stone and say, that's exactly where the Mordechai was coming from. Taka, the Mordechai was also asking himself the question of the Shach and Tav and says, it must be all goes to a kedei netila of the chatikha. The Mordechai didn't say any of this explicitly. But this is not what the Shach and Tav are doing. They're trying to answer up the Rambam. Right? But maybe you could say, right? Could answer for the Mordecai that in a Hanami, right? It only spreads through the top Kidei Netila. And why would that make sense?
Because, like, what do you mean it spreads through the top of the piece and not the bottom of the piece? Like, how far does it spread in the piece? Like, it spreads to the part that's not in the rotev, not to the part that is in the rotev. So you could say that's the word I meant. It only spreads to what's not in the gravy, not to what is in the gravy. Why? Because what's in the gravy, like, blocks it because it's too saturated or something. But that would be a new rule. It's easier to say the Mordechai was just relying on an old rule. Ah, since it's the drop fell on solid geese, when solid pieces are not in rotev, then the taste transfers, then the taste only transfers kedei netila. And that would explain the Mordechai. So for the Mordechai, this might not be a problem. But for the Rambam, it's definitely a problem. Yes? Yeah? It's moist, but it's soft. All roasted meat starts off moist. But as long as it's solid, it only goes kedei netila.
And we're assuming you know where which piece of
fat. Yes, so far we're assuming that. So, now, the Shach and the Taz, though, are bothered. How about for the Rambam? So the Taz gives two answers, the Shach gives three answers, I mean, they're the same ones. What are the answers of the Shach and the Taz? Answers for the Rambam. So there are three. And for the Shulchan Aruch. Right, answers for the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. So there are three answers. One answer is, remember we mentioned by Melicha, the taste only transfers to the Tzlicha. But if it's fatty, then it goes through the whole thing. The same applies to Tzli. If I roast a piece of ham, touching a piece of beef, it'll only ask the teal of the beef. But if it's fatty ham, I don't know if it usually is or not, I never ate it. But if it's fatty ham, then it'll answer the whole beef, because fat spreads better. So one answer is, first answer is, that milk is considered shamein. Now that is a big chiddush. After all, how fatty is milk? Anyone know? What percent fat is milk? No, before they started modern technology. 3% milk is regular milk. Like when we buy 3% milk in the, that's just regular milk. That's like how the cows make it. Then if a person wants to use a factory in science to take out some fat, I mean, you don't need modern science to take out fat. They knew how to do it in those days also. But then it could be 2%, 1%, 0%, it could be whatever you want. Right? But now, is 3% really so fatty? You know, so go figure out where to draw the line, right? Usually, I wouldn't consider that fatty, and the Shach says he knows that there are many Rishonim who don't, but it could be that some Rishonim would say that milk is considered fatty, because after all, that's 3% fat. That's more fat than 2%, right? I don't know. That's probably more fat than, you know, a pizza. That's probably more fat. Is that more fat than lean meat? I don't know, maybe. I never checked it out. Anyway, it's a chiddush to call milk fatty, because I understand it has milk fat in it. You could get butter and cream out of it. It's only 3%. I mean, they didn't know the numbers, but I mean, they knew how to work with food products. Okay, that's a chiddush. And maybe some Rishonim hold that milk is fatty. In which case, fat things go through the whole piece. Second answer. What's the second answer?
Opposite. The meat is fatty.
Right. Or that's the third answer in the Shach, and it's not in the Taz at all. But you make an okenta, right? Milk being fatty is not an okenta. Milk being fatty is a shita. Either we hold milk as fatty, or it's not. All milk is the same in those days. But there weren't different colors of bags. All milk was 3%. So, but you make an okenta that the meat is fatty. And what do we know? We haven't read that. I think we
said it didn't matter.
We did read it in the Shach, in the previous simon, that if ham on the barbecue, ham touches my beef, if the ham is fatty, taste of the ham will go through the whole beef. If the beef is fatty and the ham isn't, taste of the ham will also go through the whole beef. And therefore, if the meat is fatty, then the milk will go through the whole piece. Okay, last answer. Second answer of the Shach and the Taz. Taz doesn't have three, only has one or two, which he quotes based on the Marshal and others, is that this isn't exactly like Tzli. Is this like Bishul or Tzli? It lands on this piece. On the one hand, it's not exactly like bishul, because it's not landing in water. And on the other, it's not exactly like tzli, because it's in the steam of a pot, right? The steam of a pot is a little like being in the gravy, and a little not. So, says answer number two is that in the steam of a pot counts as bishul and not tzli. Now, I wouldn't go too far. I wouldn't say it totally counts as bishul and not tzli, but let's see better. Is in between bishul and tzli, and therefore they say, oh, it's mukher consuming kofhei, that even in the steam of a pot, the taste only travels kidei metila. Say, it depends what the case is. What the din of the steam of the pot is in between bishul and tzli. Remember, the rule of tzli is, assuming something not fatty, that if two things touch, the taste only goes kidei metila. The rule of bishul is, the taste goes through everything in the pot. What if it's outside the gravy of the pot, but in the steam? So it's in between. So the rule is this. What's the rule? The taste of a solid into a solid only goes to kidei metila, like regular tzli, but the taste of a drop into a solid, right? This case is a drop of milk. So it wasn't like a lot of liquid, it was a drop into a solid. Drop is more easily dissolved than permeate something more easily. It goes into the whole chaticha, but no further. But not the next chaticha. Right, goes into the chaticha it lands on, and not into the next chaticha. Right, that's what the shach says. This is in between bishul and tzli, so it is in the steam of a pot. So if a drop, a piece of ham, lands on my meat sticking up out of the pot, it'll only go to the metila. But if a drop of milk or a drop of ham gravy lands on my piece sticking up out of the pot, since it landed on a solid item, but a solid item that's in a pot full of steam coming from gravy, therefore, it will go through the entire piece, but not into the next piece, unless you stir it basof.
So does the answer number one work if you go through all cases of Shulchan and the Rambam?
That's exactly what the Shach is trying to do. He doesn't go through the Rambam for the main reason that there's not really a lot of evidence, because the Rambam doesn't have as many cases as others. And what he says is that clearly this doesn't work for the Rashba, and clearly that doesn't work for the Ran, and that doesn't seem to work for the Tor and the Mechaber, and therefore he's not so excited about it, and that's why the Rashba in the end doesn't like it very much. One second. But he does quote that the Darkei Moshe does suggest this answer. He does quote that the Darkei Moshe does suggest this answer, so maybe it would work for someone, but you're right, it doesn't work for most Shitas. Okay, part of those are the Rashba and the Ran are Furshna, the Torah and the Mechaber do you cannot. Okay, but you're right, it's Sarkiyah. Okay.
Just in the Taz and the Ran. Is that why maybe it goes down slower? Meaning, if it wouldn't have the steam, could you then eat the supah? Maybe it's not going to go through the whole thing now.
Possibly, that according to Taz and the Ran's version of Rashi, that's why it acts in this uniquely peculiar way. I agree. Okay, now, let us read on in the Mechaber. The Mechaber now quotes something for the Rambam that has no basis in the Gemara. Meaning, that's not a case in the Gemara. Right, the last few lines of the Mechaber here. Likewise, if it fell into the broth, all lechatichos, or into the pieces, lo nodel is a chaticha nafal, and you don't know which chaticha. Until now, you knew which chaticha it landed on, that's why you're measuring all these things. What if it fell into the broth or the chatichos, and you don't know which? Okay, here it's a little unclear how many cases of the Rambam I'm talking about. Is he talking about one case where it fell in the broth, and another case where it fell in the chatichas, you don't know which, or is he talking about one case, you don't know if it fell into the broth or into the chatichas, and if so, which? But, nowhere is Kedira Kula. What do you do in this case, which is not discussed in the Gemara? You stir the whole Kedira, ad she yoshev yis'ariv hakol, until it all gets mixed. And then if the whole Kedira tastes like milk, we would say if the whole Kedira has 60 drops, doesn't have 60 drops, that's super. If the Kedira does 60 drops, the normal case, muteris. You check with a guy. What if you don't have a guy? Then you just measure shishim. So basically stir it in, and then if the pot has 60 drops, mutter, and if not, usser. Here's the big ambiguity in the Rambam. When are you stirring? Let's put this Rambam on the board. Says the Rambam. What if, right, what's the case where you don't know which chatifa it landed on? Right, you don't know which chatifa it landed on. The assumption is like you look, it disappeared very quickly, and it lost its color, like you can't see. So what do? Stir it all up, and then it's batel b'shishim. That's what the Rambam says. Right? Stir it, and then the tipa is batel b'shishim to the whole pot. By the whole pot, I mean the whole stew. I don't mean the metal, I mean the stew. Theoretically, but that would never happen.
Okay, if it's batel shishim, then why do we then ask the guy to
go? Oh, the Machaber says you don't measure shishim, you just ask the guy. If there's no guy around, then you measure shishim.
You don't measure them now.
Correct. And Ashkenazim say, no, you always measure shishim. Right, but you don't need both. I mean, if there's a guy, don't measure it. Just ask the guy to taste it. If there's no guy, not everyone has a guy. No one's probably known so many guys. So then you measure shishim. Okay, now what's the problem here? The problem is, when is he talking about? Stir it. So, it sounds like, when is he talking about? If it lands and you don't know what to do, then you should stir it. What's a simple shot? Stir it right away or stir it after a few minutes? Pashas, simple shot, I think. No one arguing about simple shot. Is that it's after a few minutes. What do you do? What do you do in this situation? So you go, you open up your Rambam, you look for what to do, you call your rabbi, ask him what to do. He says, oh, stir the pot. And that's when the Torah attacks the Rambam. The Torah says to the Rambam, I don't understand. Like, if you stir it later, then it's not going to be Batel B'shishim, it's going to be Hanan. That was, right? That was the Torah's Kasha. The Torah's Kasha was, if it fell in the Marak, in the broth, it's Batel right away, you don't need to stir it. Let's assume it fell on a piece and you don't know which piece. So if it fell on a piece and then you stir it after you ask a Shaila, that's called Lonir Batkhila El Basof. Lonir Batkhila El Basof is a big problem. Then the whole piece becomes treif, and then if it wasn't 60 tipos, and then it makes the whole pot treif, if the pot's not six times as big as the chatifa. You know what you should have said? You should have said the whole pot is treif unless it's 3,600 tipos. You know, if it's 3,600 tipos, then either the pot has to be 60 chatifos or the chatifa has to be 60 drops. So that's the Torah's kasha. The Torah's kasha is, why isn't there a problem of Hanan here? Okay. So, that's the kasha. That's the kasha. So what's the case? So there are, right, the kasha is, why isn't that piece Hanan? And then,
is it the Torah's kasha?
Yes. When you stir it, the whole pot is usser unless it's 60 times the chatifa. That's the Torah's question. Right? Meaning the Rambam is discussing a scenario of l'nir b'tchila el basof. L'nir b'tchila el basof should be l'nir b'tchila el basof should be a problem of Hanan. Okay, so the answer to this depends on what case you think the Rambam is talking about. One answer is Mari ibn Khabir. Mari ibn Khabir says, what ukimta did he make in the Rambam?
He did it right away.
You stirred it right away. The Rambam means stir it right away. The Rambam doesn't mean if this happened in your pot, then open up the Rambam, see what he says, and then do it. The Rambam says, memorize in advance. If you have quick reflexes and quick thinking, if you see a dropping milk land in your pot and you don't know where it landed, and you remember the Rambam immediately, stir it immediately. If you stir it immediately, that's near mitchila v'yatzof. Near mitchila v'yatzof makes perfect sense. So he says that no. He says the Rambam means stir it miyad. If the Rambam means to stir it miyad, then it's no problem. Then it fits the Gemara. And then, that's a case of near mitchila v'yatzof. And then the Rambam Sneicha. Of course, near mitchila v'yatzof, the drop immediately dissipates through the whole pot, and there's no problem.
Is there any chidush in this case, in addition to the previous case of the Rambam?
Is there any chidush in this case, according to according to the Rambam? I mean, what's the chidush of the Rambam in this case?
And not only that, he's repeating what he just said.
Isn't he just repeating what he said about near mitchila v'yatzof? So before he said, if you did it, and now he says, you should do it. But he's just repeating the exact same thing. L'chora, the chiddush is. L'chora, the chiddush is something else. Mari ibn Khabir discussed, which the Taz doesn't understand what he meant. He says maybe the chiddush is that you're even allowed to stir at l'chachila. You might have thought stirring only works b'dievet. The chiddush is you're even allowed to stir at l'chachila. Maybe that's the chiddush. Because what might you have thought? You can't stir at l'chachila because. You're making this drop of milk be bottle in the stew. So you might have thought, Ein v'atlan l'shel chachila. Okay, maybe that's the chiddush of the Rambam, according to Mari ibn Khabir. Or maybe he's just giving you advice that is no chiddush.
Does he say the Rambam thinks that it's an adur
bonim? No.
Do you think you could about this in a chila on adur raiso? Because.
Do I have any evidence what the Rambam thinks about this? I do not. Okay, so that's an interesting question. Interesting question is, let's get back to that question. What does Beis Yosef say? Beis Yosef has a different shot. I don't think it's exactly what the Shachar and Taz here say. Maybe it is. No, I don't think so. What is Beis Yosef's shot? Let's read the Beis Yosef shot. Says the Beis Yosef, what's shot in the Rambam, he just doesn't like this idea that you stirred it right away. Oh, by the way, let's read the Ramah. Sorry. Says the Ramah, V'yesh cholken u'svir lehu de'inom ol ma'shenorek de'irim lo shenir v'yachnach le'esarach no'ed. Some people argue in the Rambam, says it doesn't help to stir it later. And therefore we reject the Rambam, meaning the Ramah said that's such a good kasha that we reject the Rambam, right? So says the Ramah. So the Rambam is wrong. Stirring doesn't help, because that's lo nir batchila elo levasof. So now the kasha is, the Mari ibn Khabib says, you just misunderstood the Rambam. You thought the Rambam meant lo nir batchila elo levasof and said he's wrong? No, he meant nir batchila v'yatzof, and it wasn't such a chiddush. If anything, it was some small side chiddush. The Beis Yosef is a different answer. Shlomi?
Just within the Mari ibn Khabib, are we able to make a chiluk between Kedir Shabbatar and Marak? You could have thought Marak, you don't even need to stir at all.
That is a... but not Mari ibn Khabir.
No. Meaning, what's the Chiddush of the Rambam now? The Chiddush is an even Marak.
Right, the Mari ibn Khabib does not... does not say that. The Mari ibn Khabib does not say that, but maybe you could throw that in. I mean, that's what other people say. But maybe you could throw that in also. One second.
Okay. I wouldn't say chatichos, mean chatichos within a soup.
Yeah, it could be the case is, he says, you don't know if it fell into the marak or into the chatichos.
Right, well, chatichos in soup, not chatichos in butter.
Right. Right, you have to.
The first part also sounds like it's also the chachila. So why would we learn from the second din more than the first? It's not talking about the chachila.
Doesn't say that. It says if.
It's just a matter of rhyme, official and your. Yeah. The second case also is not talking about the
service. The end of the machaber says nowhere. The hoven, not the. Okay. That's Varim Chabir. Although most people don't agree with that. Like that's not. The Rambam could have said nowhere miyad. Right? He should have said that. Meaning. So the Rambam tells you, if this happens, this is what you should do. And he meant, not if you just look it up. Only if you did it automatically, you know, instinctively. Then, or only if you memorize what I said before it happens. Maybe you should have said, no or miyad. That's why most people don't like the Mari Ibn Khabir.
He already said miyad.
What?
He already said miyad.
But not saying,
he said, I don't really say miyad.
Okay,
miyad.
He said, no, obviously I mean miyad. Didn't you read what I read in the ratio? Okay, but you see, I was not so passionate. So, here it's not so clear. What does he say here? Let's read what the first question is. He says, if it falls into the marak or the chatilas are in the marak, there's no need to stir. And if they're not in the marak, then it doesn't help to stir. So, what does the what does the Beis Yosef says? He says, "Af al pi shenafal b'toch hamarak tzarich l'narik v'ishis arev yafeh, v'kol shkein shenafal l'chaticho shevesoch hamarak, shu tzarich l'narik." Okay. What do I think he's trying to say? He's trying to say this: is that no, really means the you're no air later. But, or they're not, you know, the Rambam does say nowhere, right? Even though we would say menar. What's the lashon of the Rambam? Nowhere. Okay, fine, so we can call it nowhere. I think we would say menar. You are nowhere later, but the case is that the tipa fell in the broth or either it fell in the broth or it fell in the chaticha that is in the broth. Meaning, it's not a case where it fell above the broth. It fell either in the broth, or let's say according to the Ri, in a chaticha that's half of the broth. Or according to Rashi, in a chaticha that's all submerged in the broth. So right away, it spreads into the whole broth. Right? So, there's no Hanan because the Kippa immediately spreads throughout the stew. He says, no, you have to make an Ukimta in the Rambam. Now, here's the tricky part, which is not what it sounds like in the Rambam. The Rambam says, fell into the Marak, or the chatichos, you don't know which. L'chora, he means, not the chatichos he's been discussing earlier. Not different chatichos he's been discussing earlier. L'chora, he means the same chatichos we've been discussing above. Beis Yosef, okay, seemingly, B'dochak, says, I think that's, if I understand correctly what he means, says, no, maybe this fell into the broth, or chatichos, they're all in the broth. And therefore, it immediately spread. If it immediately spread, why stir it at all?
Make sure you
the answer is, let's stir it so it's yafeh yafeh. And
also answers the question of Imam.
Exactly. The need to stir is only to be, extra careful. Lina'er yafeh yafeh. Okay, maybe this is the Rambam who says even when you stir, you have to keep stirring. Right, so the Rambam says, okay, stir it a little extra to make sure it's yafe yafe. Right, but really it dissipates through the whole broth right away. You just want to make that process continue. You just want to keep that process going, so you do it yafe yafe. The shot from the Taz, though, based on the Magid Mishnah, not really their shot, have a different shot. What does the Magid Mishnah the Shach and the Taz say? They say, no, etaka fell into chaticha, out of the rotev. Right? According to Reed, totally out of the rotev. According to Rashi, partially out of the rotev. So why is there no chanan? So here's the chesh. They say, one second. What? This far. This far. They start the same. They start the same. That really, you are nowhere later. And the tifa landed, or might have landed, on a chaticha outside the rotev. Right? It's not that you stirred it right away before that piece became chanan. And it's not that really the piece was all inside the rotev and it became chanan. It landed on a piece outside the rotev. Also, why didn't that piece become chanan? So what's the Magen Mishnah's chiddush that the Shach and the Taz both agree with? Why didn't that piece become chanan? The Shach said that a little later at Bitulos Lachila. But yes, but explain a little what you mean a little more. Here's a tremendous chiddush. Says the Shach and the Taz, quoting the Magen Mishnah. It's really the Magen Mishnah. Right? What did the Magen Mishnah say? Let's find the Magen Mishnah. Says the Shach and the Taz, quoting the Magid Mishnah, first quotes have already been laid, and then he says, one second. Exactly. Kevin lo nodel eza chaticha nafal, there's no chanan. What does this mean? There's no chanan without yediya. There's only chanan when you know which milk mixed with which meat. If you don't know, there's no chanan. Right? Okay, this is already philosophical. When mixed milk mixes with meat, you get a chalos basar b'chalav, and that becomes chanan. Only when you know about it. Not if you don't know. Now here, you know the milk landed someplace, but you don't know where it landed. If you don't know, there's no chanan. It's a big chiddush. We would have thought chanan was natural. If milk and meat mix, it becomes chanan, it becomes treif. Kamashwal, no, not so simple. This is more like a Rosh Chodesh kind of thing. Right? If milk and meat mix, they don't become chanan. You can't eat the milk and meat mixed together, but it doesn't become chanan. It doesn't become a chetza trait. It doesn't transform the identity of the chetza. If a Jew realizes that milk and meat mix, then there's a psak, even if the Jew's not a rabbi, even if the Jew doesn't know halacha, there's an implicit psak that the Jew knows, and as a Jew, he has responsibility to clarify the halacha, and the halacha could be clarified if he opened the book. Therefore, when a Jew realizes the psak is chal, and the psak makes it chanan, but it's not naturally chanan, it's the psak that makes it chanan. And therefore, what does he say? But there's no chanan without yediya. That without yediya. And over here, even though you know it landed someplace, that's not a yediya. This is a big fish. What? The Magen Mishnah says this. The Shach and the Taz think he has the right shot on the Rambam, but that doesn't mean they paskin like it, because the Rambam didn't paskin like the Rambam. Right? So we don't paskin like this chiddush. The Shach and the Taz just think it's the right shot on the Rambam, but they doesn't mean they think that it's true. They just think it's the right shot on the Rambam. Right?
Is there a precedent for this? Like, where do we...
Is there a precedent for depending on the idea?
It's like she made it. Like, where'd they get this from?
We have precedent the other way around, like in the Shnayas about Yediyah, like for example, the Sugya Kamakama Batel. That's the opposite way. Like if, you know Truma, like 1 in 100 makes it Usser? So less than 1 in 100 is Mutter, right? There's no Bidul Shisha, but Truma shears 1 in 100. So what if, there's Machlok Zachamir Shimon, you know, what if, like, you know, I have 100 kilograms of, or technically 100 liters of coolant. 0.7 liters falls in. Another 0.7 liters falls in. Each time it was less than 100th, together it's more than 100th. So, one sheet is. It depends. If I knew about it, then the 0.7 liters is bottle, and then the next 0.7 liters is bottle. If I didn't know about it, then it's as if 1.4 fell at once, and it's usser. It's not exactly the same. I admit it's not the same. There aren't that many chaluyos that depend on your yediyah. I admit. Okay, that's the Dikdush the Magen Mishnah. But he says it. Says the Magen Mishnah. Kevin de Yodeh's Chaticha. He ain lomer ba nasis nevela. The Efshar lesser home. You can't say nasis nevela if you don't know what it is. Sounds like Hanan depends on Yodeh. Okay, there are about a few places we'll deal with whether we don't like the Shita, and we'll always say we don't like the Shita. But it sounds like Hanan depends on Yodeh. Sounds like Hanan depends on Yodeh. So, there's no Hanan without Yodeh, and the Rambam is explicit, you don't know where it landed. Right? Why did the Rambam have to say you don't know where it landed? Why did the Rambam have to say you don't know where it landed? So he could have just said, a practical answer, if you knew where it landed, just take the Chatikah and throw it in the garbage, and Shalom Yisrael. If you don't know where it landed, he has to give you advice. But you could say, no, he's teaching a halacha. The halacha, if you don't know where it landed, is different than if you do know where it landed. If you do know where it landed, he just taught you about Hanan. If you don't know where it landed, there's no Hanan, because Hanan is the result of the halachic process, not the result of the reality. That's a big chiddush. Again, Rosh Chodesh is also the result of the halachic process, not reality, but that's not so similar to Hanan. So it's a big chiddush, but that's what the Magen Mishnah says, and the Shach and Taz thinks the good Shach and the Rambam.
If you didn't mix it up,
give me a second. In which case, now we have the question. Why mix it? Why do you have to mix it? After all, if there's no Hanan, then then what's the problem? What? Oh yeah, but there isn't. That's irrelevant. Why do you have to mix it then? They just said this piece of meat never becomes Hanan because you don't know which it is. In which case, it can never, your pot can never be trey. If you have one tipa, that one tipa is going to be bottled in your pot. Why bother to mix it?
It's not part of the mixture, then, that wherever the milk is. It's still made part of the mixture.
Uh-huh. So the exactly, here it's a little different formulation in the Shach and in the Taz. But he says, give me a second. Here maybe the Shach and Taz are a little different. Yes. Here maybe the Shach and Taz are a little different. Fair enough. The why mix it? Although, it's not so, not so pushing in the, in the Shach, but it could be why mix it? So the answer is because the milk is only in one part. It's not every place. And the milk is only in one part, not every place. So here, the Shach and the Taz sound a little different, and that depends on how you read Siman Kuf Yud Aleph. But let's just, maybe you could say, says the Taz. Taz is very clear. Why mix it? Says the Taz, the tipa's already bottled. Is already batel in the whole pot. Tipa's already batel in the whole pot. But, but why mix it? But, you have to mix it so the goy can do his taste test. After all, let's say you want to taste if this tastes like milk or not, and it's not mixed. What's going to happen when the guy tastes it? Sort of be random. If he tastes one part, it might taste more milky. One part might taste less milky. And then you won't be able to get an accurate taste test. What if he happens to bite the part that has more milk? Then he'll say it's all treif. No, but if you mix it all in, then he'll really be able to tell if the milk is big enough to give a taste to the stew, or the stew is big enough to cancel out the taste of the milk. So just to help the guy do a taste test, that's why the Taz says Ashkenazim don't have to mix it. We just use Bittul Shisha. And Rikyu Eger's Kasha on him. He says to help the guy do a taste test, you mix it so it'll be evenly distributed, and then the guy can tell if it tastes like milk or not. If you don't have a guy, the Taz thinks you don't have to mix it. Yeah. The Shach is not so clear. Or is the Shach before say against that, or you're just thinking?
He's ambiguous.
It sounds like, you're right, the Lumtaz sounds like the Mashmos of the Shach, I agree. The Mashmos of the Shach is, you know, it's not so clear, but maybe, right? What would you say? Someone wanted to say before, Yitz, or someone, why do you have to stir it? Because it's not bottled yet. Like, maybe if it's in one piece, even though there's no Hanan, that piece is still usser. Or what if it's like in one area, that area is still usser. Like, think about it. Let's say it landed in one piece. There's no Hanan because you don't know. But even if there's no Hanan, that piece is still treif. It still tastes like meat and milk. So maybe you could say, the Shach is ambiguous. He doesn't say explicitly like the Taz. Maybe you could say, you have to mix it because if the milk is concentrated in one chaticha, then it's not bottled. But if you stir it, it will be bottled. Right, think, if it landed in one chaticha, forget about chanan, there's no chanan without yediyah. But you still can't eat that piece, because that piece tastes like meat and milk. You're going to bite that piece, it's going to taste like meat and milk. The milk's not bottled yet, so you stir it and make it bottled. Okay, that is, maybe, that's what Oren wants to say to Shachel. Is that not what you want to say?
No, yeah.
You tell me, I'll erase it if that's what I want to say. Okay, now we just have to deal halacha l'maisa with one question. Let me just deal with halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa.
Just a point. How is that exactly entering why it's not mivatel in Israel?
It's not. I didn't ask that question, did I?
No.
That's
why I'm bothering.
Case of the Rambam. If near miyad, then pasha, that it's mutter. Right? The tifa is bottle near miyad, we know it's mutter from the Reisha. What about near achar kach? Right? What about near achar kach? Or, let's say a little better. What about nafla tipa al chaticha lamala min harotev ve'eino yodeya eza chaticha v'nier achar kach? What about that case? So that's the case where the Rambam seems to say mutter, and the Rambam says asr, we pass like the Rambam, right? So that's the case where the mashmaos of the Rambam, or let's say better, the Rambam lefi magid mishnah shach and the taz says mutter, the Rambam says usher, and we paskin ashkenazim like the Rambam. So we would paskin it's usher, even with this fancy hezbollah, the Magid Mishnah, we would still paskin it's usher. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, what about this case? It landed on a piece, you don't know which piece. If you stir it right away, whether you do know or don't know what piece, it's mutter, that's near miyat, near mitchil of yatsof. If you stir it 5 minutes later, then the Rambam sounds like it becomes mutter, and you have a fancy explanation of the Magid Mishnah, shach and taz, that there's no chanan, without yediyah. Oh, why do you have to stir it? Okay, either stir it so like the goy can like taste the average and not like taste something that's statistically unrepresentative, or you have to stir it because even though there's no chanan, one piece is still usher until you stir it. One second. And but the Rama says black and white, unless you stir it right away, it's usher. We pass like the Rama, unless you stir it right away, it's usher. We pass there's no chiddush in this case. Whatever the Rambam held, we don't care. There's no chiddush. If you stir it right away, we already know that it's mutter. If you don't stir it right away and stir it later, then it's usher. Now, there's just one loose end we have to tie up. Someone wants to ask a question.
Yeah. The Taz's case is Davka when it's less than 60. Because if it's more than 60, it's not shayach to say toim or comes to make a difference. And the Rambam himself says Mishar and Mishishim at the end.
No, what it means is that we don't bother to measure. We just have a good taste of it. We don't know. We don't know the measurement. We don't bother to measure. We just have a good taste of it. If there's no going, then we bother to measure.
But if we know it's 60, then we're going to make a difference.
Pashtus, yes. Correct. Okay. That's machlokes in Sadi Ches, but certainly the way the mechaber assumes, yes.
I don't understand the shah. I mean, if it was a piece of cheese that fell in there, it's all be contrary in one spot, and people still say it's bottle.
What do you mean? I have no idea what you just said.
Meaning, a little milk falls in,
mm-hmm.
and we said, we don't know which piece it fell onto, and therefore we're saying, because it's all contrary in one area, we're not going to say it's bottle to the whole thing.
Right.
It's not. There's a piece of cheese that fell in there. There's no way to mix it up that it disintegrates through and dissolves throughout, so it's still going to be in the people will say it's bottle.
Not if it landed on a chaticha, only if it landed on a marak. If a piece of cheese lands on one chaticha, it makes that chaticha chanan, and you can see which it is, you have your dia, and then...
No, if we don't see it, it's not going to...
Well, I don't know what the case is. You can't see a slice
of
cheese.
No, I'm more trying to figure out why here is he saying it can be different than the regular rules of...
Where is anything different than the regular rules?
Because normally, I can't think of the right case, but normally we don't say that if it's concentrated in one area, you know, it's not about them. You don't know where it's concentrated.
We do if it's on the chaticha outside the rotev. No?
That's why you shouldn't have not. Oh,
no.
Okay.
But it's even without that. Okay. Now we just have one question that Mar Ibn Lehi was bothered by. What about Ein Vatlan Sochachila? How could you stir this teapot into the whole kedera? Isn't that bitul Sochachila? You're not allowed to mix some milk into your meat, even if it's less than a 60th. Isn't it bitul Sochachila? So, how do we get out of the problem bitul Sochachila?
What color?
Yes. Question is. Isn't stirring the teapot into the pot the problem of bittul iser lechachila? What does bittul iser lechachila mean? You know, like every dumb yeshiva bachur learns one thing, goes home and tells his mother, you know, I learned about bittul b'shishim, it's fine, here, look, and he puts a little milk into the chol and says, see, it's bittul, it's perfectly fine halachically, right? That's not true. You're not allowed to do that. Because bittul is b'dieved, it's bottle. You can't l'chachila mix milk and meat and say it's bottle b'shisha. You can't l'chachila mix kosher and treif and say it's bottle b'shisha. If I have a little lard, I can't say, oh, my vegetable soup is, you know, I don't know, 100 ounces. I'll put 1 ounce of lard in it and it's bottle, so it's okay. Not b'dieved, it'll be okay. But l'chachila, you can't mix iser and heter and meat and milk. So how can you l'chachila stir the milk into this pot? Isn't that a problem of bittul iser l'chachila? That's what everyone is bothered by. Isn't it a problem of bittul iser l'chachila?
Should it sound like a tikkun after you've done it?
And the problem is that it's abundantly clear in the Mishnayos that even if something already got mixed, but it's not bottle, and now you want to like make it bottle, that's still bittul iser l'chachila. So, what about the problem bittul iser l'chachila? Okay, so, how do you deal with the problem bittul iser l'chachila? So, there's a few ways to answer this. Isn't it bittul iser l'chachila? The Mar Ibn Lehi says, based on what I said, that it's miyad that solves the problem. I'm not sure what he meant. Just because miyad, how does that solve the problem? The Taz also says, I have no idea what he's talking about, right? What does the Taz say about the Mar Ibn Lehi? He says, someplace here, says the Taz, Nidakti go b'dvor, fa'im v'at nusul chachilam, Mar Ibn Lehi sarva l'takin zev v'lo tikin. Dafim lo shav v'nir miyad, nikom bako. Ha'lo shav v'am ma'i mor shal chachil yasakein, v'heich n'yach nusul chachil yishrachah. Even right away. Why is it batel of chachila? This landed on one piece. And then you're going to mix it into the whole pot. That's mixing milk into the whole pot. How is it batel of chachila? Even if you do it right away, how is it batel? That matter even like strange. How does a mutter be batalis lechachila, even if you do it right away? But you're allowed to be batalis lechachila right away, just not later? It's like, if you would have stirred it 2 minutes later, that would be a problem, bitalis lechachila. How can you mix the chalav into this whole pot? It's only one piece. How can you mix it into the whole pot and make it batal? But if you do it right away, it's okay. What's the matter even like mean? Strange, no? Anyone have a shot?
Didn't have a chance to make it on it.
So I think that's pshat in the. I agree. I think that's pshat in the machol in the Mari Ibn Leib. So how? Number one. What's the answer? Says Mari Ibn Leib, or Mari Ibn Chabib. Why do I keep confusing him with someone else? Mari Ibn Chabib says Mari Ibn Chabib. That's a different achra. Says the Mari Ibn Chabib. You're nowhere miyad. So what? How does that solve the problem? Bitulus l'achila, maybe you have to say the following chiddush. Bitulus l'achila means mixing an isser into heter. If you mix a drop of milk into your stew, have you mixed isser into heter? What have you done? You've mixed heter into heter. Milk is heter and meat is heter. It's not usser. You've mixed heter into heter. It's only usher once it sits for a second and now becomes basar b'chalav. Miyad means, now again, you have to ask what miyad is, but miyad means that if a person does something as fast as human beings do something, halachically that's considered right away. So once it becomes basar b'chalav, once the meat cooks with the milk, now this is usher milk, and the piece of meat it's on is also usher, and you're mixing isser into heter. But before the milk cooks with the meat, before it has time to cook, it's heter into heter. It's not iser into heter, and it's not forbidden to be mevatel heter and heter. Now here it's a little tricky. Does that mean you could put a drop of milk in your cholent? Maybe yes, according to the Mari Ibn Chabib, even though we wouldn't do this. All right. So what's a svara? No error. Sorry.
They for sure make it zero unless you not do it right away.
Yeah. No error miyad. Right. Why is that mutter? Maybe pshat is because miyad the tipa is still heter. It hasn't had a chance to cook yet. Until it cooks, it's not basar b'chalav because it has also basar b'dim chalav imo. So miyad it's still heter, and you're allowed to be mevatel heter b'heter, or at least we'll say you're allowed to be mevatel heter b'heter under difficult circumstances where otherwise you would lose money. Right? At least all you have it. Tipa is still heter, and you're allowed to mevatel heter lechatchila. Or, I might go so far as say you're allowed to mevatel heter lechatchila stam, but you're at least allowed to be mevatel lechatchila b'makom tzorich. The reason is because we'll see in some tzaddik tests that Rambam holds you're even allowed to be mevatel ishtar rabbanan lechatchila b'makom tzorich. So you'd also be allowed to mevatel heter lechatchila b'makom tzorich.
But if you waited that,
yes, then the milk has already cooked in this pot. Once it cooked in the pot, it's now an iser. It's cholav shenis bashal and basar. Once it's iser, you can't be batal isul chachila. That's, I think, me and Oren both think the same thing. This is what you were thinking, Oren? Okay, so me and Oren both think the same thing. The odds are very high that we're correct, right? One or the other, I don't know. If I think and Oren doesn't, he thinks and I don't, 50-50. But if we both think the same thing, then it's already in the very high 90s. Okay, maybe that's shot of Mari Ibn Leib. Mari Ibn Chabib. It's a nice chiddush, but it's not a crazy chiddush. Miyad means before it's halachically considered to have passed. The time is considered to have passed. If the time didn't pass, then nothing cooked yet. And if nothing cooked, then it's not milk that was cooked with meat and meat that was cooked with milk. It's just plain milk and plain meat. Plain milk and plain meat are both heter. So how can you call it bitulus l'chatila? It's a chiddush.
Can you just change the perspective?
Probably yes. But it doesn't matter. We still wouldn't tell him to do it, right? The Rambam is telling you to do it. Right? The Rambam says, nowhere. You should.
So I understand how that would help for, like, Hanan. Meaning, if you would mix it right away, it wouldn't become chanan because it wouldn't be able to steep the whole thing. But this piece itself is milk and meat, so why is the piece not an iser? I mean, it doesn't need a
piece. It's not milk and meat. It's miyad. The milk and meat haven't had time to combine yet.
But they don't need to, because even if I have meat with milk on top of it, I can't eat that, because it's basar b'chalav.
You can't eat it, but it's not iser. Let's say I have meat with cheese on top of it. I can't eat it, but it's not iser. Just take the cheese off the meat and then eat it.
That's not okay.
Would you call, let's say I make a deli sandwich with a slice of cheese, like goy meat. Would you call that iser? No, once I eat it, I'm doing an iser of eating deli with cheese. I couldn't call it a chefta shel iser. What do you mean? Just it's two separate cheftas.
Right, but when you mix them together.
What?
Even if you want it to
drop on it. And even if you want to, it's only drop on it. And the Rambam holds that you can invite one to drop on lechatchila b'makom tzara, b'makom hefzik, which this certainly is.
Is there any difference in the din after the iser already been invited to the lechatchila or an
iser? Yes. If you do it lechatchila b'shogeg, because you don't know the halacha, like the stupid Yeshiva Gani story, then there's no difference. If you do it lechatchila b'mezid, then the Rabbanim make a knas on you and you can't eat it. So there is a difference. I mean, if someone has been mazed about the lishlach achila, like they say, oh, I know you're not supposed to be about the lishlach achila, but I think I can make more money doing this. And they do it with mazed, then there are a bunch of them get a knas on them. The general rule is anything you're not supposed to do lishlach achila, most things you're not supposed to do lishlach achila, if you do the lishlach achila be mazed, there are a bunch of them get a knas on you and say that you can't benefit afterwards. But even that would be different. Like, for example, Ivan, even be mazed, if I have my own business, I say, hey, I can make more money by doing this bit the lisser. And I do bemaze it, even though I know I shouldn't, then as a knas, I can't use any of that stuff. If I go to your house and bemaze it, I say, hey, this would be funny, watch this, guys, and I put like 1% iser into your soup, then there'd be no knas on you because you didn't do anything wrong, you'd still be able to eat it. Okay, we'll get to all that in Simon Tzadi Tess. Now, how about according to Beis Yosef? If I understand the Beis Yosef properly, it's really no problem. For the Beis Yosef, it's no problem because really it's already batel before you mix it. Because he said, no, it really fell into the broth or into the pieces that are in the broth. You know, they're like totally in the broth or according to Re, pieces that are partially in the broth. And you just want to do it like extra good to make sure, but it's really already vatal. You're not being vatal l'chachila. And just because, like, you should do it to make sure it's yafa yafa, that's a whole bitl l'chachila. How about for the Magen Mishnah? Magen Mishnah doesn't address bitl ish l'chachila. Right? It's not clear in bitl ish l'chachila what's the din according to the Magen Mishnah, but what about according to the Magen Mishnah? The Taz is, I think, very important. The Taz says, big chiddush, it's no problem because it's already bottled before you mix it. Why is it already? You're only mixing it so the guy can get an even taste, so you can get a statistically valid sample. After all, whenever I want someone to test something, I should mix it first so that we'll get a statistically valid sample. If I want you to test the quality of my merchandise, I should mix it all together. So you'll get a random sample. An average sample of it. Because it's already bottled. Why is it already bottled? Because the principle says the Taz, there's a principle called, this is in Kofi Aleph, Kol Masha Nichlas Basafek Mitzdarif Levato. The principle is that even if something didn't spread through the whole pot, since it could be anywhere in the pot, that counts as batel. It doesn't have to spread someplace to be batel b'shishim. It just has to possibly be there. I mean, that's the chiddush of the Taz. Don't just say if something spreads through an area and it's less than, that's 60 times itself, it gets diluted as batel b'shishim. Even if something's just lost in an area 60 times itself, that's batel b'shishim. Because we don't know, it could be anywhere in the pot. If it could be anywhere in the pot, then the whole pot is 60 times the tipa and it is batel. That's what the Taz says. He makes it sound like it's just bottle because it spreads through the liquid. The liquid makes it spread. Taz says, no, it might have fallen on a solid piece outside and not spread.
But they both say it's already
bottle. It's already bottle because this rule
There's a rule called kol mash and nechnes besnechnas besafek. Now this is machlokas mitzparev levatel. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this case. Let's imagine I have two pots of heter. Heter. 30 and 30. And here's one of Isser. And I'm not sure where it fell. What the halacha? According to many Rishonim, the halacha is its bottle. Why? And why don't we say if it's in the right hand pot, it's 1 to 30 and it's not bottle. If it's in the left hand pot, 1 to 30 and not bottle. No, since we don't know where it is, we view it as if it's in all 60. It's not in all 60, it's only in 30 then. But since we don't know where it is, if it's in all 60 and it's bottle, says the Taz the same thing. Since we don't know where this kippa is as if it's everywhere in the pot that's anything that's besafik, any place it might be, counts toward the bittel.
Can you mix those two lechatchila?
And then you can certainly mix those two lechatchila, yes. So says the Taz, it's already bottle.
Why mix it to the
lechatchila? According to the Taz, he makes it sound like you don't even have to mix
the
two lechatchila.
Right,
only for the goy you mix the two lechatchila. You really don't have to mix the two lechatchila.
So what does the Taz do with the fact that Rambam says it's near?
Oh, that's so the goy will get a good taste, right? But it's not. You don't really have to. It's just a way to make sure the goy gets a good taste. A way to help the goy taste.
Is this part of Korn Mashiachas?
That is a great question. I don't have a great svara according to the Taz, and we won't exactly paskin like this simple pshat. In the end, in the Ramah, for Ashkenazim, Kofir Aleph, we don't paskin like this. I guess the svara is, wherever it could be, it's as if it is. You have to do better than that. Really, in this particular case, I have trouble with the svara of the Taz. I have trouble with the svara of the Taz. Like, I could try to make it, I could probably make it sound good enough to fool you for 10 minutes, but then you'll go home and you'll come back to me and, you know, and say that it didn't really make sense, so I'll just skip it away. You could say a different shot also, which is, and here the shach doesn't say explicitly it's already bottle, right? The Taz says it's already bottle. Taz says it's already bottle. The shach doesn't explicitly say it's already bottle. So you could say a different shot. You could say, and this is what it sounds like from the Taz, from the shach. Sorry. One second.
Doesn't the shach sound like that for a reason the Taz
is? Yeah, you know, maybe he does sound that way. Although, why does he have to throw in the thing that's only a suffix isser, right? That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
Why does he have to throw in the thing that's only a suffix isser? That's what bothers me a little. The income is shumavatal isser. The gam dummy. Kimish a suffix who. Maybe you don't need that. Vein lahakshos, isn't it? Bithlos lahakhila. Say it's the same thing, even though it's a little unclear. He says, "Svila Ram Kibelo Nodle is Chutz Vanafel Oshayech Lomachatira Nasas Tevelo Kol Akedira Nichlas Lasafik Hilchach Minar Kol Akedira Mitzarif Kol Akedira Levato." The dummy, his lashon is not so clear. You know, maybe we'll leave it at this. Maybe we'll leave it like the Taz. Okay, it's already buffalo because Mal Komash Nichlas Lasafik Mitzarif Levatlo. That is. That is good enough. The shach adds. What does the shach add here? Shach adds the famous sheet of the shach, which is very important in halacha lemaisa. Quotes from Zedeshin. If it's a case of suffix, there's no problem with it.
Here, Sasha pulls a suffix. Why is it a suffix? Like, maybe this drop landed in a big piece and already got diluted and was bottled with shishin. Right? Maybe it landed in a big piece and was already and already disappeared. It was already bottled with shishin. So, says the shop. The shop really sounds a little different. Let's say a little better. Says the shach, that says the same thing. Kol ma shenichnas b'safek mitzarid. And orin here yesh l'adam a lot. Maybe he just means mitzarid to make it not bitlus l'hachila, but it's not bottle yet, right? Mitzarid plus safek, it's already batel in the first chaticha. After all, maybe the chaticha was 60 times the drop, and the drop was already batel in the first chaticha. So, and the shach says, you're allowed to be batel safek yesu l'chachila. By the way, that's very big in halacha l'maisa nowadays, right? Let's say something mighty right now have bugs. You know, like grind it up to grind up the bugs and be batel l'chachila. Says the shach, sir, no problem. It's only safek yesu, you can be batel l'chachila.
How do you stretch that to a case where it's safek if there's shishu?
I think the shach would. That's a big chiddush. At least if it is a real suffix. Here's where it gets a little tricky.
So, but then, going back to the previous, the
like a suffix that you can't figure out.
Whatever you said before about the suffix, there is the chum yeshim most machmir, but then can you view that as a suffix? So then you can just add more. Mm-hmm.
According to the shach.
Yeah. So then basically anything you're really not sure, you kind of get out of it. Because you could assume the lowest amount.
Yeah, but let's assume it is.
You assume the lowest amount and then just add it.
Maybe. Okay, we'll come back to it in some inside guess. It's a good answer. Okay, halakha l'maisa, let's just review what happened here. The Rambam says a strange thing that you're like allowed to l'chachila mix, not just allowed, recommended to mix your milk into your whole pot and make the tipa batel shishin into the whole pot and then it's all, you know, it's all fine. We have two problems. Number one, why doesn't it first make one piece chanan and then you need 60 times that piece? Mari even leaves says stir right away. So it says, no, it landed in a piece that was in the rotev. And the Bani Mishnah that says, because there's no chanan if you don't know where it landed. There's only chanan if you don't know where it landed. There's only chanan if you know where it landed, not if you don't know where it landed. And then we also have the question, isn't this bitul shel chachila? Mari Blake says that right away there's no bitul shel chachila. We're not sure what he meant. Maybe what he meant is right away it hasn't had time to become usher yet. And therefore it's not bitul shel chachila, it's bitul hetul chachila. The Beis Yosef might say, no, it's really, it's bottle right away. You're just doing some extra stirring. But it's bottle right away, so therefore no bitul shel chachila. And the Taz also says bottle right away. Why is bottle right away? Because this principle, not because it dissipates right away, like the Beis Yosef. Because the principle that wherever it might be, we view it as if it is. So if it might be here, it might be there, it's as if it's everywhere. And then it's bottle b'shishim. Likewise, it might be in any piece. So it's in all the pieces, in all the rotev. So it's bottle b'shishim already. The shach was not 100% clear. Maybe it meant the same as the Taz, or maybe it meant, no, it's not bottle yet, but since it might be anywhere, it's not called bitlis l'chachila to like stir it into where it already might be. And anyway, it's only suffix. Maybe it was already disappeared in one chaticha. And therefore, there's no problem to stir it and make a batel. Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, that's all hezber the Rambam. In any case, we Ashkenazim say, look, the Rambam, if you stir it right away, fine. We agree with Mariv and Chaviv shot in the Rambam. But if the Rambam means like everyone else, like the Magen Mishnah, the Shach and the Taz, then we disagree with him. So much for Sif Beis. Okay, Sif Gimel, I think it's fairly straightforward. That's just ABCs of Chanan. Let's go to Sif Gimel. Yeah, if you notice that on Sif Beis, all the later Achronim go into all kinds of details. But we'll leave it for that. Gimel. Shenesra Chaticha Machuz Acholah. Nasez Kola Chaticha Isser. This is like Shmizi. If you know Chanan, this is the easy case. If a piece of meat got trafed because it absorbed milk, it all becomes Asr. If you then take that piece of meat that already became chanan and cook it with other things, you need 60 times the whole piece. That's pasha. The imakira, and then what happens? The imakira mashlicha v'achiros mutaros. So here's an interesting thing. Vitalik, can you get the board for me? What happens? You have a piece of meat that's chanan. And then you accidentally put in your chalit.
with the other piece.
So, now, what's the two possibilities? If your cholent is 59 times the hatikva, then once it's hatikha sanan, now the whole cholent is also. What if your cholent is 60 times the hatikha? Then the cholent is mutter. But, and here's an important point, this is going to come back a few times, don't make a mistake. Did you get the board?
Yeah.
Great. Don't make this mistake. What? The, well, here you have, by the way, this would be the exact same halacha. This would be the exact same halacha if instead of being a piece of us b'chol it became chanan, it was an actual piece of the beila. Right? The anas of the beila. Meaning a trade piece of meat. Right? Here you have a piece of meat that is chanan b'chol b'chalav. Or the same would be nevela mamish. Right? You have a trade piece of meat. A trade piece of meat falls into your stew. Right? Falls into your hector. So, what's the case? If the heter is not 60 times the chaticha, then it's all usher throughout the whole thing. What if the heter is 60 times the chaticha? Then it's mutter, it's batel b'shishim. But here's the tricky part. There's two cases of batel b'shishim. Why? Let's say accidentally lard falls into, lard by the way is pig fat, lard falls into my cholent. And it's batel b'shishim. Then I could just eat my cholent. Where's the lard? It's gone. It dissipated into the cholent and it's gone. But if a piece of treif meat, like chanan meat, or actual treif meat falls into my cholent, and it's batel b'shishim, then what's batel b'shishim? The juice, what's called the tam, that comes out of the meat is batel b'shishim. How about the actual piece of meat? Does the actual piece of meat turn mutter? A piece of treif meat falls into my cholent. A piece of treif meat is 5, the cholent is 500, 100, totally batel. Does that piece of treif meat turn mutter? No. Why? Because the piece of treif meat did not mix with the rest of my cholent. I could take it out. Easy example. In Makira, Mashlicha Achiris Mutaris. Here's the obvious case. Let's say I have a piece of treif meat. It's a circle. Falls into my cholent where all the pieces of meat are square. I measure it, less than the 60th, it's all mutter. Can I eat the circular piece of meat? No. What do I mean when it's batel b'shishim? I mean that whatever taste emerged through the cooking from that piece of meat is batel m'cholent. The actual round piece of meat is still treif. It can't turn kosher just because it was cooked in a cholent. It's not like lard that dissolved. The actual piece of meat is still treif. So if I can recognize it because it's circular and the rest are square, then I take it out of the cholent and I throw it in the garbage. Right? So the principle here is that whenever I have a hatikas iser nisbashla bikderas heter, there are really two different problems I have to deal with. Sometimes people get confused about this, then they don't know how to pasken halacha. What are the two problems? There are two problems. One, the ta'am of the eser goes throughout, let's say, farish in the rotev, throughout the kedera. Two, the be'en, the substance, the actual piece, the be'en of the eser. So I have to deal with these two problems. In what order do I deal with these two problems? First the tam and then the be'en. Why? Because if the tam spread through everything made a treif, then everything's treif, nothing to talk about. If the tam was batel b'shishim, then I have to talk about it. So therefore, what do I say? I make a flow chart. If the kedera is 60 times the chaticha, or Kedera
is not 60 times the chaticha. If the kedira is not 60 times the chaticha, end of flow chart. It's all usher because of problem one.
Right? The kedira is not 60 times the chaticha. That means the tam of this chaticha went into the kedira and was more than a 60th. So everything has a tam of treif. It's all treif. What?
Even
if I remove the chaticha, doesn't help. What about this case? The kedira is 6 times the chaticha. Then there's no problem of one. The tam of this chaticha is bottled in the whole kedira. But this piece is still usher. So then I make the next flow chart. What's the next flow chart? If I say the chaticha is nikeres, or the chaticha is eina nikeres, can I recognize which it is or not? For example, if the chaticha of basar b'chol of Hanan or Nevela or Chazer or whatever fell into vegetable soup, then it's nikeres. I find the piece of meat. If it fell into a stew, a chulent, then if it was a different shape or a different color, then it's nikeres. Ah, a little bit of ham fell into my cholent. Well, the ham's a different color than the beef, so I can tell which it is. Or this chananed meat fell into my cholent. Well, the chananed meat was a triangle, and the cholent meat is a rectangle, so I can tell which it is. So then, very simple. Then, what do? I remove it and throw it in the garbage. I remove it, and no problem. Right? And I solve problem two, and that's what the Machaber just said, right? If you're mocker it, remove it. But here's the problem. What if you don't know which piece it is? Let's say I had, this to be very simple, I'm making cholent. I have 20 cubes of meat to put in my cholent. One of them accidentally gets milk on it. Now it became chanan, right? They got more, the milk was more than a 60th of that cube. So one cube of meat is now chanan, it got milk in it. How did it get milk in it? I mean, maybe I was like, find a case. It was hot and milk landed on it. Or it, one of these pieces of cubes of meat accidentally fell into a pot of boiling milk. I took it out of the boiling milk, threw it in the garbage, and my kid saw it in the garbage, said, why is this in the garbage? I put it back with the other pieces. After it cooled off, it looks just like the other pieces. And then put them all in the cholent. Right? He said, who put this in the garbage? And dumped it in the cholent with the other 19 pieces. Now, I measured. Yeah, the cholent is much more than 60 times a piece of meat. Tom's batel b'shishim. But what about the be'en? One of these 20 pieces is treif. So what do I do now? Says the Machaber. Now we have a new case. We don't use the rule of batel b'shishim. There's two kinds of batel. There's batel of ta'am, where one thing dissolves into something, like the ta'am of this piece dissolved into the cholent, or the lard dissolved into the cholent. We use the rule of shishim. And then there's batel of pieces. Not the tam of the piece, the piece itself, bitl of be'en. That's called bitl yavish be'yavish in the halachic jargon. It doesn't matter if it's dry or not dry. What it means is separate pieces. Bitl of be'en. What's the rule of bitl of separate pieces? The rule of bitl of separate pieces is not shishim. The rule is it's batel b'rov unless it is unless it's davar chashuv. If you have separate pieces, they're batel b'rov. Unless they're important, they're significant, then they're not bottle at all. Not even one in a million. So what's the rule? What if you can't find that piece? Then you have a tarovus of be'ens. What's the rule? Then it depends on this. Either it is re'uya lehiskabed. What is lehiskabed? Lehiskabed means to honor a guest. It's a big enough piece of meat to serve a guest, like the cubes in the cholent. Is a cube in the cholent a chaticha where you liskabed? Is a cholent cube chaticha where you liskabed? I don't know. Would you serve him just a cube of milk from the cholent? Like, if you serve someone a cube of meat from the cholent, is that honorable?
It has to be something you would serve as a meal to a guest.
Has to be something you would serve in and of itself. Meaning you can't say that a piece of rice is ruilis kabed, because if you put a lot of them together, then it's an honorable portion. No, like it has to be important in of itself. Not if one cube of cholent meat is important, like a schnitzel, that's important. I'd have one cube of a hamburger, I think, is important. You know? Okay, Shiva wants to eat three hamburgers, but normal people say a hamburger. That's a good serving. A schnitzel. You know? The
does it depend where you are? Right.
Yeah. But a cube of chili meat? I don't know, like, if I gave you a cube of chili meat, you would think I was very peculiar. If it's with the whole chili, that's one thing. It's an ingredient in the chili, right? But, so, maybe you'd be lucky if it's a cube of chili meat. What if it was big pieces of meat? Then you'd be unlucky. So if it's Ruyulis Kabeh, then the Chatichos Asuros Behashar Mutter. Then all the pieces are usher, because you don't know which piece of the trade piece, and if it's chashiv, it's not batal. Chatichos Asuros, because of two. The rest of the stew is okay. The beans are okay, and the barley is okay, and the broth is okay, because it doesn't have time of treif. But the chatichos are treif, because one of the chatichos is aser, and you don't know which it is, and it's not batal. If it's eina re'uya lehiskabeh, then everything is mutter. But for two separate reasons. The time that goes into everything is mutter is batal b'shishim. And the end of the 20 pieces of meat are mutter, because even though one of them is treif, it's batal to the other ones because it's not kosher. So here, let's just review. This can be important for all of your day. There are two kinds of mixtures. The nickname for them is lach v'lach and yavish b'yavish. One kind of mixture is where something, the time of something where the liquid dissipates and spreads through something else. Like it gets totally mixed in. Like an ingredient in a, like I don't know, you put sugar in your coffee and it gets mixed in. Or lard falls into your vegetable soup. That is batal b'shishim. 60 is mutter, 59 is usher. Then there's like pieces. Let's say I buy I have 8 pieces of beef jerky that I want to eat, and one of them is treif and 7 are kosher. That's a taroz of the ends of separate pieces. What's the rule? Nothing with shishim. I don't care if it's more than 60 or less than 60. If they're important, then it's all usher, because I can't ignore the usher one. If they're not important, they're all mutter, as long as I have rov heter. When a piece falls into a pot, you have two different tarovuses at the same time. Number one, the time that piece goes out and makes a tarovus of taste mixing. Number two, the piece is still sitting there, and there's an usher piece. And therefore, you have to worry about two problems. First, you ask, did the time usher everything or not? So if it's less than a 60th, the time didn't usher everything. No problem one. If it's more than a 60th, the time usher everything is all garbage. Then, even if the time didn't usher everything, the piece is still usher. Now you have to ask, well, is this piece mixed with other pieces? If you find it, throw it out. If it's mixed with other pieces that look the same, then you have to say, well, what about the pieces? Everything but the pieces is mutter. What about the pieces? It's ke'ilu, the tam's bottle. You have 60, 70, 80 to 1. But take out all the pieces and put them on the table. Now you have 20 pieces. You don't know which is usher, which is mutter. What's the rule of pieces? You don't know which is usher, which is mutter. The rule is not shisha. The rule is, if they're important pieces, they're all treif. And if they're unimportant pieces, then they're all kosher. That is the rule. If I have sitting on my table 3 meatballs, 1 treif, 2 kosher, they're all mutter. Because it's not important. If I have 3 steaks, 1 treif and 2 kosher, or 1 treif and 100 kosher, then they're all treif. Because it's important.
Can you eat them all with asachas?
It's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rashba if you're allowed to eat them all b'vas achas, and we're machmer. But it's a machlokes rishon.
So you can't just eat the chalat normally. You have to eat piece of meat by piece of meat.
I mean, most people don't eat the whole
chalat. There's small, right? Small pieces, the meatball. Okay,
yeah, as long as you don't eat the whole piece, right. The whole chalat. You can eat more than one piece. Right. Let's say there's 20 pieces. Yeah, you can eat 5 or 6 or, yeah. Or 10 or even 12 of them.
You know, 10 different people eat them all in Vazach? I mean, you could serve them in Vazach.
So that's also a machlokes. And that's also...
Make sure you symbolically take one out.
That's also a machlokes. Can 10 people all eat them at once or not? We Ashkenazim have a chumrah that you should actually give one piece to a guy so that even all... even all the Jews together don't for sure eat the trick piece. Okay, but that seems to be a chumrah, not me. By chumrah, I mean a binding custom. I don't mean like you decide, you know. I mean, all right. I mean, you should keep that chumrah. But there are, I think, has a total hachmer or something, or, you know, yesh lahachmer or something, you should keep the chumrah. But nonetheless, it's not strictly, it's not an aveira if you don't do it. Right? So if you would serve it at every, between the two of us, we'd eat the whole cholent, it wouldn't be an aveira.
And lach, where it's shishim, you have nothing, you don't have to worry about it at all?
Correct.
That's, I mean, meaning symbolically.
It's not even shy, I have to ask.
Let's take it, symbolically take out a piece. Is there
no, that would be irrelevant. Because there's an isser in every bite.
And a
problem. Right? Over here, you could say, if I symbolically take out one piece, maybe I didn't eat the treif. You can't say that. Okay, that is Sif Gimel. And, you know, it's a straightforward application of Hanan. The new things we learned from Sif Gimel is not really the Hanan part. We knew the Hanan part. If milk and meat mix, now it's Hanan. You need 60 can eat the whole piece if you then drop it in a stew. We had much more complicated thing than Sif Beis. What we learned in Sif Gimel that we didn't know in Sif Beis is this idea that there are two aspects to taroves. Again, the nickname is lach balach. Lach balach means liquids. It doesn't mean liquids and solids. It means like when things, the time of things spread throughout each other versus yavish b'yavish when you have pieces and you want to know what the status of the pieces is. So, again, nothing to do with liquids and solids. For example, if I have 5 bottles of wine and the labels fall off and one is treif and 4 are kosher, then that's a taroves of ben. They didn't mix it all. That's the rules of the end. What's the rule? The rule is that if they're chasha bottles of wine, they're all treif, no matter how many. And if they're not chasha bottles of wine, they're all kosher, no matter how many. Okay? What makes it chasha or not will be explicit in some kofiot. But if I have these 5 bottles of wine, and they're all poured together into a big barrel, then they're not. Then that's a tarobus of taste that mix to each other. And then it depends. If there are 61 bottles of wine, it's okay. And if there are less than 61, it is not okay. All right, we didn't get a Sif Dalet yet. We'll have to pick up next time with Sif Dalet. I know we skipped. Someone's going to be mad at me. We skipped the Shach and Taz and Sukkot and Zayin. It's interesting. They're totally different lines of the Shulchan Aruch, but they're both Sukkot and Zayin and both discussing the same topic, which is a very, very, very lundishly important Machloka Shach and Taz. I know that I skipped it. We'll come back to it on another occasion. We'll come back to another simon. But we will come back to another simon, so don't be mad at me. And don't think, A, don't be mad at me for skipping the Shach and Taz of Zion. B, don't think that means it's not important. Just that we're not going to get into it yet, because we'll have an easier time getting into it later. We'll go on to Sif Dalet next time. Sif Dalet is also very complicated. Remember, I promised you, once you get to Sif Hey, it's not as bad anymore. I plan on finishing everything next year. No big deal. I plan on finishing all the Tavos B'Chol next year.